delights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up, looking up.
Hey there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And we are still looking at the Hallel Psalms, building up to Passover here. It's getting close. I'm actually thinking I need to start cleaning my house. I've already been thinking through all of the bread that's in my house that I need to start eating up, right? So we're getting ready for Passover. The time's getting closer. And we are at Psalm 116 now out of the Psalms. And it's a very... This is an interesting one, mm-hmm. right? And I'm thinking that next week we'll try to prepare a little clip of this psalm that we've worked on. It's really, I think it's one of my favorites for sure. Psalm 116, it's Zach sings it. Zach and Brayden share the song in English and in the Hebrew, and it's just beautiful the way that came out. We've got a cello in there. It's just a very emotional psalm. And it's interesting because this group of songs is called Hallel, praise, right? And a lot of times you're thinking like joyful praise kind of a thing. But when you read Psalm 116, it's not necessarily the feeling that you get, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gut-wrenching a little bit, this Psalm 116. And so it's actually the only song on our album that is more gut-wrenching, which I mean, I think it works. I don't know. So we've talked to a Jewish person here, there, where they're like, it's supposed to be more upbeat, you know, that's too, but I feel like that's what God calls us to praise in the midst of the gut-wrenching things in our lives. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, so here we're going to dive into Psalm 116. We're just going to look through the first half of it.
Yes. So looking here at the first verse, it opens up with, I love the Lord. This is the New King James translation. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. And interesting, in the Hebrew, you could translate it, ahavti is the first Hebrew word, ahavti ki. So I love because. It doesn't really indicate what the love is directed at. Mm-hmm. I love, like the reason I love is because God's has heard my voice. You could say, you know, the reason I love God, you know, which is the way the translation went here.
That's the italicized, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Lord is there. The name of God is there, but it's more like later on in the Hebrew, it's like the Hebrew actually says, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem et koli, which the literal translation would be, I love because heard God my voice.
Right. Okay.
Yishma Hashem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So breaking that down, you could just say the reason we love it all, the reason we love each other, mm-hmm. the reason we love God is because he hears us, because he's heard our cry for him. Mm-hmm. And so that begs an interesting question, like, why do you love? Why do you love Tally? Mm-hmm. You know, why yeah. is it, you know, is it because of this foundational thing that God heard your voice?
Right, right. And it's like, it's in part of hearing your voice, you know, because you think of the scripture, we love because he first loved us, mm-hmm. right? And how does he show love for us? Well, he hears our voice, right? Mm-hmm. He hears the voice of our supplications. It's how the Israelites heard, or how the Israelites felt love, right? Is God heard their cry, mm-hmm. right? So it seems like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it points to the importance of communication, uh-huh. and how our love is really based on God communicating his heart to us. And really feeling like we're understood and heard by him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for someone that has a breakdown in that, that feels like, well, God doesn't listen to me. God, then there's a really breakdown in feeling love from God. Mm-hmm. But here the psalmist, he's going, I know, you know, I love, the reason I love is because I know that God's heard me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I know Brayden knows that I'm, as a husband and wife relationship, that's something I'm pretty sensitive to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've grown in my understanding of this since being married.
I've taught, Brayden and I have both learned that we have to spend a lot of time understanding and hearing each other. It's such a huge thing. And how, you can deal with anything within that. Mm-hmm. If you can really try to understand, even though we'll never fully understand mm-hmm. each other, mm-hmm. when you actually, you know, try to hear each other's yeah. voice and hear their heart and understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So it's a good encouragement to us to be good listeners mm-hmm. in our relationships, because that fosters love. It encourages love in our relationships when we know that someone's listening to us. Mm-hmm. And God is really
understanding.
And understanding, yeah. God is ultimately the best listener in the world. Mm-hmm. He listens yeah. to us, and so we love him. Uh-huh. So moving on to verse 2, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. So here in these first two verses, we have a past, present, and future statements. In present tense, I love in the present tense because he heard me in the past tense, and then in the future tense, and I will call upon him. There are actually five different I will statements in this psalm. The first one here is I will call upon the Lord, and then the next one is I will walk. The next one is I will, my paper here, I will take, and I will pay, and then I will offer. So these are future tense. You know, I will do these things. And I, at one point in my life, in my spiritual journey, I can remember being really uneasy about those kind of statements. Like, well, what if I don't? You know, I can remember there was an old song back in the 90s. It went, I won't bend and I won't break, and I won't water down my faith, and I won't compromise in a world of desperation. And I just can remember being a little uneasy, even singing that song. I was like, what if I do? And I've got friends that have broken. They sang that song, but then they broke. They like broke their promise, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I started noticing in the Psalms that where David and these other men, they were not afraid to make these declarations. Mm-hmm. And so here we have these I will statements in Psalm 116, and we need to make those declarations, I believe. I think mm-hmm. they're strengthening to our faith. You know, mm-hmm. I will walk before God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will do these things. And it's something that I believe helps us to actually follow yeah. through that.
It's like when you stop saying it is when maybe you wander off, right?
Right.
So you got to keep saying it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I will do these.
James talks about the tongue being the rudder of the ship, right? So you're basically following the direction that your speech is clearing the way for, in a way.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So by saying, you know, I will love you. I love you. I will walk before you. Mm-hmm. Then we're opening the way for us to walk in that path.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we got to keep declaring it, right?
Yes.
You know, another thing that was I was just thinking of as you're talking here is just when it's talking about because he inclined his ear to me, and it's talking about him hearing my voice, and just thinking of the importance of prayer in that and how, you know, if we decide not to cry out to him or not to call out to him in our distress or in our, you know, because this is, whoever wrote this, this was a hard, you know, like I said, gut-wrenching, going through a hard time. And, he's not going to hear us if we're not crying out to him. And so that's kind of the first step there, too, is that we call to him for help and that we engage in going to him and we make our voice known to him. So I was just thinking about the importance of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. So as we have been over the past weeks pointing out the significance of Yeshua singing these psalms in the upper room, the Passover, this verse really mm-hmm. hits that bullseye, mm-hmm. you know, the sorrow of the moment. You know, he's about to die. He said, the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol. He's experiencing the weight of what's about to happen. And he's actually singing this verse here. Mm-hmm. He's finding trouble and sorrow. You know, he gets in the garden. He's weeping. He's travailing in prayer. And so this verse really, of all the Hallel Psalms, captures that mm-hmm. sense of sorrow better than any other.
Yeah, the honesty of it too. Mm-hmm. You know, just it's not like the more spiritual you get, the more unfeeling you get, mm-hmm. right? It's like there's an emotion that comes with it, right? Like with your, with that. And that, you know, this psalmist wasn't scared to present that, you know, and Yeshua yeah. himself, you know, engaged in the, you know, the pangs of, you know, the pangs of death that surrounded mm-hmm. him. It's, yeah.
Peter hints at this verse in Acts 2:24. It says, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So here we see Peter referencing this psalm. And as Tally mentioned earlier, just the idea of sorrow, worshiping God in our sorrows. I read a book several years ago by Michael Card. It's called A Sacred Sorrow. And he just goes through the Bible and talks about several of the psalms that are lament psalms. The person is bringing their worship to God, but they're lamenting in the whatever suffering they're going through, whatever heartache they're going through. And talks about how Yeshua is even prophesied as a man of sorrows. And the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. And how they brought all these pangs and the suffering and then was honest, as you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And brought it to God.
Yeah.
Right? And didn't go into a hole with it.
Right.
I think that's that's the difference, mm-hmm. kind of, is that there's hope. There's a way to experience that pain.
Right.
With knowing there's hope in God, mm-hmm. you know, and being able to cry out to him in the midst of it.
Yeah. And what you'll notice a lot of times in the Psalms, too, is there's a shift somewhere towards the end of the Psalm where the person, it's almost like they just need to get it off their chest. They need to get mm-hmm. this trouble they're going through off their chest, and then it bursts forth into a praise. I think it's Psalm 13. Mm-hmm. But I have trusted, it just bursts forth at the end, this bright sunbeam.
Right.
But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. This is after talking about how, you know, he's going to die. He just feels like he's going to die if he doesn't, things don't change. And, you know, he's like just getting this weight of lament, this weight of sorrow off of his heart. And then he's able to honestly praise God. There's some sort of shift that takes mm-hmm. place emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we skip that step mm-hmm. of dealing with our sorrow, mm-hmm. dealing with our pain, then our worship loses a sense of honesty mm-hmm. and transparency to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see that even in human relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Is with, you know, how much better it is to actually work through the painful seasons. You know,
right.
so that you're able to come through on the other side and be even closer,
yeah.
really, you yeah. know, and that's what draws us to God. And that's what, you know, even in our, yeah. our human circumstances.
Yeah. Tally and I get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine every month. And I encourage you, if you're not on that mailing list, to get it. It's a free magazine, comes out every month. It gives an update about what our fellow brothers and sisters are enduring in different parts of the world. And so, you know, speaking of pain and suffering, I always feel a little bit like, you know what, here in America, we don't have anything to complain about. You know, I read these stories. But at the same time, we still do go through trials. We go through struggles. And so I don't think those things are something we just overlook. Mm-hmm. But it does help me get in perspective when I read yeah. these stories of what our fellow brothers and sisters are going through in different parts mm-hmm. of the world.
Yeah, well, you even read Brother Yun,
right?
And he even talked about, you know, someone who's tortured, mm-hmm. beaten, starved, everything you can imagine. And he actually said the relational... Right? Like when he came
someone
to
someone betrayed him. Yeah.
Yeah, he was betrayed and that was actually, he said it was more painful to him than the actual beating, the physical beatings
yeah,
from an enemy.
Hard to believe. Yeah.
So which is, yeah, it is. It's hard to
It was
imagine.
Some sort of story where he was accused of betraying some of his fellow Chinese believers. Mm-hmm. A rumor had gotten out, I think it was in Canada or something. In North America, a rumor gotten out that he had among certain people that he had actually betrayed some of mm-hmm. his fellow believers, and which had never happened. It was totally,
right, right.
It was a false accusation. But he said that accusation hurt him more than all the tortures he ever endured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Which I think in the Western world here, we make our own troubles sometimes.
But which brings me to, over the past couple of years, I've been thinking about this and just processing it, and a song actually came to my heart. It's an unfinished song, but I'll share part of it here with you. It goes, there's a wilderness of brokenness, there's a wilderness of loss, there's a wilderness of emptiness and reassessing all the cost. There's a wilderness of wondering why I ever chose this road, but I find myself like Peter, asking where else can I go? There's really nowhere else to go. So just in my processing of pain and suffering, like, you know, we go through wilderness seasons in our mm-hmm. life, and you can see this in this psalm, the wrestling with this pain. But like Yeshua, he asks Peter, you know, are you going to leave too? All these people are leaving Yeshua, right? And he said, are you going to leave too? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go along? He says, I can't. You alone have the words of eternal life. Mm-hmm. So you can't. So I think that there's a certain point that God brings us, even in the pain and suffering we go through, but we just have to ask that question. You know, there's really nowhere else to go.
Right.
You know, we make that, we just come to that realization. There's nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. I can't leave you.
Right.
And so I think in that place of relationship, there comes a real bond, a real honesty and power in our relationship with Yeshua that, you know what, we're faithful. We want to be faithful to you no matter what, no matter what pain we go through. Mm-hmm. We're going to trust in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So then I've got a poem from several years ago. This is just born out of different circumstances. People that, you know, people get sick and die, and, you know, these type of situations really cause us to grapple with the, you know, with life and, you know, what's happening? What is God doing in these situations? And so this poem here was born out of a season. It says, "Stranger there, you see the face, but not the past. The sheath, but not the sword. How could you appraise the now without knowing the before? If you wanted to cut to the chase and mar the thin veneer, you could ask this single question, what has brought you here? Pain and glory mark my road, and they seem to set the pace of a lifelong road of seasons appointed for my race. Without the one, the other shrinks to sullenly resign to a life of timid fearfulness or to boastful pride. When God's light shines in glory, let the shadow be the pain that is laid down in forgiveness by the power of the name. If for once I understood the way my Maker thinks, I could then confine his workings to the realm of time and space. But I can't, and none within these human homes can know how deeply wise he is who sits upon the throne. From tiny seeds he nurtures us to shocks of grown-up grain. We don't always see the harvest when we feel the pounding rain. He sees goals we never dreamed, and somehow unjust pain reveals the glory of Yeshua, who through suffering overcame." Mm-hmm. So he is our example, mm-hmm, of no matter what suffering we go through, but to know that there's a glory awaiting us on the other side. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he bore that, you know. Mm-hmm. He went through that. It's not something that, you know, we have a God who doesn't understand. You know, it comes back to that understanding. Mm-hmm. That's how Yeshua understands us.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So verse 4, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful." So going through this pain, but then he comes to this statement, this revelation, but God is gracious and merciful. Mm-hmm. And this is just something interesting I noticed as I was studying this chapter. One person pointed out, it said that righteous is in the middle, is sandwiched between the grace and mercy. Gracious is the Lord, then righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. And so just how God's mercy his graciousness is kind of like, it's hedged in by this attribute of righteousness. I love that. You know, God's
that
mercy,
picture, yeah,
that mercy of just the righteousness of God being in between his grace and mercy.
Surrounded by love.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. He is love. He is the essence of love. Mm-hmm. Then moving on to verse 6, "The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me." And here, you know, this is where a lot of us begin our journey with God. It's when we're brought low that he said, and we realize how low we are. You know, a lot of times we can go through life and not realize how low and how needy we are. Mm-hmm. But then we come to that place, and that's where God saves us. Mm-hmm. That's where he reaches down and delivers us out of that pit. I love Psalm 40, verse 17. It says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me." Mm-hmm. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful revelation. Mm-hmm. That in our poorness, in our neediness, yet God's still thinking about us. So many things to think about in the universe, but to internalize that. Mm-hmm. God's thinking about you. Mm-hmm. He has thoughts about you. Yeah.
And that's what you need to hear, right? When you're low,
yes,
when you're poor and needy, mm-hmm, is to know someone's thinking about me right now. You know, how much does that yeah, speak to us?
You know? Even on a human level. Uh-huh. Like, you just get a phone call, and I was thinking about you. Uh-huh. It's like, well, that's good to be thought about. You
know? right. Yeah, it's good.
But the creator of the universe, he's thinking about us. Wow. Uh-huh. I mean, that should be so comforting.
Yeah, and I love. I think I've learned to appreciate simplicity more since marrying Braden. I think that's his kind of motto. is simple, simple, simple. Like God, which I think, you know, I love seeing all the biblical places where that's pointed out too. And I think of the Psalms of Ascent too, where it's talking about, now help me here, 130, what is it? 131? Where I don't think of things too high for me.
Right, yeah.
Nor of things too high for me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's talking about, you know, just the importance of just staying simple. I'm not thinking about things too high for me, you know. And just getting down to the simplicity of I'm puny, you know. Like
childlike
God,
faith. We should say childlike faith.
Childlike faith, yeah. And just realizing the greatness of who God is, like just how vast he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just reading this book on thankfulness, and it was, you know, talking about why we need to be so thankful all the time and thank God for every little thing. It's not because God needs, you know, he's just like addicted to, you know, you just need to be thankful. I just need that to feed my, you know, it's nothing to do with that. It has to do with when we are thankful, there's something in us that recognizes how small we are and recognizing how big God is. And how we need that ourselves. We need to, you know, make ourselves smaller and make him greater. And so thankfulness is one of the things that does that too. It's part of that simplicity of how to understand. You know, we like to make a really big deal of ourselves here, you know, and make things just real complicated and real. But, you know, in the vastness of who God is, you know, understanding, man, we'll never get this, you know, we'll never figure it all out. We just need to trust in God, in his bigness, and not try to be big ourselves, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then the mystery of that, though, is that the more we realize how great God is, mm-hmm. it also helps us realize how important we are in a way, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, this great God created the universe. He's thinking about me, you know, as we read. You know, he calls me beloved. Uh-huh. You know, I love Song of Solomon. It said, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me."
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's incredible. When you can internalize that, when that revelation grows strong in your heart, that as small as we are, as needy as we are, uh-huh. yet he has shown us how much he desires us. It says, "By this we know love, uh-huh. that he laid down his life for us."
Yeah.
Wow, it's just mind blowing.
Yeah. And I guess realizing that, you know, because he put that in our hearts, even the desire to be great, right? It's like, you know, none of us want to be just a piece of dirt and stuff, mm-hmm. like, you know, no one thinking about them. But when our greatness is in him,
yeah.
that's when we truly are great. You know, it's like, I'm only great because you think, you know, because you think about me, uh-huh. because you love me, because you've looked down on me. If we try to establish a gratefulness anywhere outside of that is when I think that you can kind of run into some problems, right?
Right, yeah. So moving along here, we're at verse 7. It's a beautiful verse. It says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." And this is, along with other verses in the Psalms, that you have instances of speaking to the soul. And so we have in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In other instances, in Psalm 42, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" So interesting. It's like this conversation going on with the soul, almost like a separate person. Like, soul, what's going on? Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Like, this thing inside of me is like, something's going on there. I'm going to try to figure this out. says, "Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, soul. Come on, get in line. Start hoping in God. Stop all those doubts. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So here we see this psalm, you know, as we mentioned, he's working through, grappling with this pain that he's going through. And now he's coming to this place where he's speaking to his soul. It's like, soul, come back into a place of rest. You're going through this struggle, you're going through this trial in your life, but soul, it's time to come in line. Some kind of come in line with the truth, come back to the place of rest, and stop being so agitated. Mm-hmm. And there's times in our lives we need to speak to our souls. We need to use this verse and speak to it. "Return to your rest, O my soul." Mm-hmm. There's a place of rest for our souls. Mm-hmm. And the enemy wants to have us in turmoil, wants to have us in fear, anger, whatever it might be. But God desires us to be at rest in him. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see in Exodus 33, verse 14, it says, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." So here we see a direct connection with God's presence and being at rest. And so I believe that's a powerful thing. By having the presence of God, by seeking the presence of God, seeking his presence, we have this sense of rest in our souls. And so I believe that's a thing to look for. And then 2 Thessalonians 1:6, it says, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest." So it's a righteous thing to give the troubled rest. Mm-hmm. The righteous God gives the troubled rest. Mm-hmm. Going on to verse 8, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." I love this verse in the Psalms, Psalm 94, 18. It says, "If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up." It's like I feel like I'm slipping. Oh, no, no. But then your mercy, O Lord, holds me up. Mm-hmm. "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." So over and over again, the Psalms, we have this reoccurring theme of God's mercy and his comfort, you know, grappling with the pains of life, but then the comfort of God comes in and it delights my soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then verse 9, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." This is such a beautiful verse talking about, I believe it's a great verse for us because a lot of times in our lives, it's easy. I think it comes naturally to live our lives before our fellow men, to live our lives before other people and kind of their estimation, what they think. Mm-hmm. But here the psalmist says, "I will walk before the Lord." My life is firstly going to be lived with an audience of one. I'm mm-hmm. walking before God in the land of the living. And this land of the living, I believe, is primarily, you know, literally speaking of the land of Israel, the land of Judea, where this psalm was likely penned in Judea. And then also, though, I believe it has a spiritual application of the land of the living in a spiritual way that we're walking in abundance of life. You know, Yeshua said, "I've come that you might have life and life abundant." I'll walk before the Lord in this land, in this place of abundance of life. And so that's what he's calling us to walk before him. To, as Proverbs says, "In the fear of man, there is a snare." And so if we are walking only before people, then there's going to be a snare in that. It's going to snare us. But if we're walking in the fear of God, then that's where there's really freedom in living. And there's a place of being able to help our fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I'm also looking at, you know, how right before it, it's talking about you keep my feet from falling. And then right after it says, "I'll walk before the Lord in mm-hmm. the land of the living." And just talk, you know, I just think it's so... it's such so encouraging because we all go through those times where we feel like we're falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, knowing that it is through God that he's the one that can pull us out, keep our feet from falling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an encouragement there just, first of all, that, you know, that there's always a help, mm-hmm. right? Like there's no trap that is too big. There's no trial that is too big that God can't rescue us out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so just the importance of as we feel that stumbling motion, that kind of grasping motion, that in the midst of that to reach out for God and choose to walk before him. And that's the place of salvation, really.
Yeah.
Is being able to walk before him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
I'm thinking of that really encouraging verse in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." La 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 la. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." So they're just like you're saying, no temptation has overtaken mm-hmm. you except such as is common to man. Every temptation we face, mm-hmm. common to men. Mm-hmm. But God's faithful will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, mm-hmm. but with the temptation will make a way of escape mm-hmm. that you may be able to bear it. Mm-hmm. So,
and walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Right? Amen. Amen. So take away from this psalm, bring our pains, bring our suffering, worship God, worship him through all circumstances. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord. Speak to your soul in the midst of trials. Tell your soul to get in line mm-hmm. and start worshiping God and love him yeah. with all of your heart.
It's good. Yep. All right. We're going to sign off. This is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.
To trust and believe, we were meant to be free.